Well, good morning. It's great to see you, especially some of you folks I haven't seen in a while. It's kind of normal to see you guys, actually. But it's good to be here, and I'd like to read again the passage in Matthew 14:22. And if you will, turn with your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to them with me. Matthew 14, verse 22 and following. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and to go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter had answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you're the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, it is your word and your spirit that ministers to our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and our minds. It is not this servant. It is not this his wisdom. It is you, Jesus. It is you. And so, Lord, focus. Help us now to focus our minds and our hearts and our wills on you today. In Jesus' name. Now, guess what? You can't walk on the water unless you get out of the boat. I think there's a book, some kind of title that's close to that. You can't walk on the water unless you get out of the boat. One of the, maybe another way of saying it, I want to have to speak louder to you guys who are on the back pew. Another way of saying it is that you can't get in the river unless you jump out of the tree. Well, that sounds a little strange, doesn't it? You can't get in the river unless you jump out of the tree. A few years ago, I was with a supervisor and his wife, and we were just trying to get to know him. And my supervisor said, "Oh, well, let's go swimming in this one of the Florida rivers. It's kind of a neat place to go." And it's been so long, I don't remember which one we went to. But I remember they had this tree that kind of reached out over the river, and there were two levels of limbs on the tree. And my supervisor said, "Well, hey, let's jump out of the tree into the river." And I said, "Well, go right ahead." That's fine. So he does that. He jumps out of the tree, and he goes up to the first limb. He jumps out. His wife goes up the first limb. She jumps out. Then he goes up to the second limb, and they jump out. And so I'm not necessarily afraid of heights, but I'm thinking, why would I want to jump out of a tree into a river? But I did it. There was another thing working here. It's called pride. I said, "Okay." So I remember climbing up, and I thought, "Well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do the whole thing." So I went up to the top limb, and I'm looking down, and I'm going, "This has to be 50 feet up." And it was probably only 25 or 30, maybe. But it seemed like it was forever down. And so I just said, "Okay, here goes." And I hit, and I yelled all the way down. I went, "Ah!" Hit the water. And when I came up, I was grasping for air. I mean, I was just going, you know. And I came over to the bank of the river. I got out, and I'm walking up to the bank of the river. And I turned around, and both of my seams on my swimsuit had blown out. I looked like Tarzan with a loincloth. Both sides completely blown out. They'd blown in, from here to here to the waistband, they were blown out. I was flapping. Apparently it had caught the water. My suit had blossomed out on the way down with the air, and it had caught it just perfectly so that whenever the water and the suit and the air hit, it just blew it out. You know, I needed two things. I needed somebody to show me they could do it, and I needed to know that just maybe the river was deep enough for me to jump in. And I needed them to show me that it was possible. But I did it. It may have taken a little bit of faith. Maybe it was exciting or scary, but I did it. Today I'd like to talk to you about what it means to walk on the water. And I've got 7 principles and 3 responses, but I'm not going to name them all first. I'm just going to go through it and give them to you. The first principle is that Jesus commands us to go over to the other side. Whenever you look at this passage in verse 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat to go to the other side before him. Now the context is Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. They were tired. The disciples were tired. Jesus and the disciples had served 5,000 people. Now imagine how tired your deacons or elders would get, or these a dozen of you women, if you were to feed just this congregation. Well, they served 5,000. And the translated word here is, he made them, is translated into, another way to say it is, he compelled them or he forced them to go to the other side. The disciples didn't want to leave Jesus. After all, he had fed the 5,000. But he, in order to accomplish his purposes, he said, no, you guys get in the boat, go to the other side. We know one of his purposes was that he needed to spend time with the Father. Because the Scripture says he goes up to a mountain to pray alone. You know, whenever you give and give and give, you need to spend time with the Father alone. I'll get to that in a moment. But remember that Jesus is accomplishing his purposes. So if he commands us to do something, it's for our good. Even if a storm comes up, it's not for always for our comfort, but it is for our good. Calvin said, we do not truly and perfectly obey God unless we implicitly follow whatever he commands, though our feelings may be opposed to it. There is always the best reason, no doubt, for everything that God does. But he often conceals it from us for a time, in order to instruct us not to be wise in ourselves, but to depend entirely on the expression and goodness of God's will. It's for our good that he commands us. It was that he sent them to the other side with the Father. The second principle is Jesus connects with the Father alone, even when a storm is on the way for his beloved ones. Jesus spent time with the Father. He must have known that there was a storm coming. He must have seen that the disciples were going to be struggling in the middle of the water. And yet the priority was to spend time with God the Father. You know, in Florida, we have these little things that come up every time. It's just about every year, just about this time. They're called hurricanes. And we, you know, we get ready. We put water in our house and to get ready. And certainly, we have experienced hurricanes here in Florida. Well, these disciples were fishermen. They knew about the water. They could read the sun and the moon. They could see the colors. They could see the stars. They knew, they know what it was like to be on the water in the midst of a storm. And whenever you see a fisherman today, some of you know, you've been there yourselves, out in the water in the storm. It's not a lot of fun. And so the disciples were in this boat, and the storm came up, and they're rowing to get to the other side. It was about 5 miles, and they're only 2.5 or 3 miles into it. And guess what? These guys, it was dark. they're in the middle of a storm and it was dark. And the wind is blowing and they're feeling battered. And Jesus is on a mountain somewhere praying. Do you think they felt alone? Do you think they felt abandoned? What does it feel like to be alone and abandoned? I've felt that. Sometimes you can feel alone even in your own home. Sometimes you can feel alone or abandoned in a crowd. For here are 12 of them working, rowing a boat in the midst of a storm that they know is a bad storm, and they know that Jesus is not with them. One time, a while back, I went canoeing to Homosassa Springs, and whenever my friend and I picked up the canoe, I said, "Well, how long will it take us to canoe from here to the spring?" And they said, "Oh, because the water's going against you, it'll take you about 30 minutes. But don't worry, on your way back, it's only about 20 because you're flowing with the water." So sure enough, we canoe along, and we get there in about 30 minutes. It was a good job, but it was crowded, lots of people. So I said, let's just go. We didn't see any manatees or too many boats. There were probably 30 boats all around this little spring. So I said, "Okay, let's just go back." We start rowing back, canoeing back. The wind came up while we were there in that 30 minutes. And literally, it took more than 3 hours to canoe back, what would normally have been a 20-minute trip. And I can tell you, we paddled hard, both of us. One point, we were paddling, and this boat came by, and we were tired, and we just stopped to wave. And in that brief wave, our canoe turned completely around and was going backwards. Sometimes you can feel alone and abandoned. The third principle I have today is that Jesus is in control even whenever you feel alone. Jesus is in control even when you feel abandoned in the midst of the storm. So, according to the Scriptures, it was in the fourth watch between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was dark. The storm. They had been rowing somewhere between 6 and 10 hours. They were fatigued. Can you believe it? Think about you're rowing. What does it mean to row for 6 hours? They're tired. And as they're rowing, in the midst of the storm, there's a little break in the clouds and they see someone coming to them. The only problem is men don't walk on water. So it had to be a ghost, right? That was the rational thing. It was a ghost. Couldn't be a man. It had to be something else. And it says, the Scripture says, they were terrified. They were terrified. Because now we have a ghost in our midst. It's not just the wind and the waves and abandoned, but now we have a ghost coming to us. And the Scripture says, immediately, Jesus said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Hey guys, it's me. It is I. There's no need to fear. The fourth principle is that Jesus' comforting presence casts out fear. Jesus' presence casts out fear. His character is one of love. It casts out fear. His kindness, His mercy, His grace, His power, just like love, His presence casts out fear. You feel abandoned. You feel like you're in the middle of the storm. You feel like that you can't get out of this mess. Jesus' presence casts out fear. And so Peter says, okay, Jesus, if it is you, and he could have been, maybe he was questioning you. I don't know. This may not be really Jesus. Maybe a ghost. But Jesus, if it is you, command me to come walking on the water. Because he knew Jesus, if it was the real Jesus, could, and he would be safe. And if it wasn't, then he could probably hop back in the boat. Right? He was a fisherman, probably could swim pretty good. And Jesus said, come on! Sure, Peter, come on! Get out of the boat! Come to me! The fifth principle is that Jesus calls us to get out of the boat. You know what I mean? He calls us to step out on the water when it doesn't make much sense. He calls us in the most irrational, inopportune times, whenever there's a storm brewing, and where there may even be a question about if I really am God. And He calls us, and He says, go ahead, trust me, step out of the boat. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't think it was bad for Peter to walk on water. If he did, he wouldn't have called him. Jesus believed in him. He believed in his disciples. He believed that they could walk on the water. He believed that Peter could walk on the water, or Jesus wouldn't have said to him, step out of the boat, come. Kind of reminds me, actually, of whenever the children of Israel were going to the promised land, and Joshua and Caleb were sent in to spy out the land, and Caleb comes back, and Moses says, well, give us a report, and Caleb says, it's a good land. We can take this land. It's ours. Let's walk in. Let's step out of the boat and take the land. God is with us. Caleb believed they could take the land. He believed God's promises. You think there wasn't pain in fighting everybody in the land? Wasn't danger? Sure there was. In Deuteronomy 8, God says it was for their good end that God gave them the land. How many missionaries have you heard stand right here tell you stories about how God called them to step out of the boat? How God called them to walk on the water in one sense. And God came through. There are countless stories. Jesus wanted those missionaries to trust Him. Jesus wanted Peter to trust Him. And Jesus wants us to trust Him. And so Peter does. He steps out. And he's looking at Jesus, and he's following Jesus. He's walking toward Jesus. And guess what? The closer he gets to Jesus, the further he gets away from the boat. But he's not looking at the boat. He's looking at Jesus. And then he looks around. And the wind's still blowing. And the waves are still there. And the boat's further and further away from him because they're blowing that way. And he's walking toward Jesus this way. And he gets scared. You know, it's one thing to look at a storm from your home. It's another thing to look at a storm from a boat. But it's a third thing to look at the storm from sitting in the waves. You ever been in the waves in a storm? Can you imagine what it would be like if you were just in the water by yourself in a storm? Jesus said, come. Peter does, and he looks at the wind and the waves. But Peter, in the midst of maybe his despair or fear, he says, Lord, save me! And please, do it quickly. The sixth principle I would say to you is that Jesus is committed to save us. Jesus is committed to save you. In fact, Jesus says when you focus on the storm, you're going to sink. But when you focus on me, I'm going to save you. When we cry out to help, for help, Jesus will save you. In fact, He died to save you. He is committed to save you when you cry out to Him, even in fear. And so here is Peter now sinking further and further down, and he says, "Lord, save me!" And it says, the Scripture says, immediately Jesus reached down and grabbed him. Why would He do that? Why would He grab him? I mean, He was God. He could say, "Water, be solid. Peter, stand up." He reached down and He grabbed him. How comforting is that to know that the Son of God reaches and He grabs you. And He says, "I'm with you. I want you to feel my touch, to know I'm real, to know I'm with you, to know that I am going to save you." He is committed to saving us. Peter sank because he took his eyes off Jesus and he focused on the waves. Whenever we walk through tough circumstances, whenever we face difficult times, if we focus on the waves and the difficulties, we're going to sink. When we cry out to Jesus, if we don't cry out to Jesus, we'll sink in our pride and our despair. Let me ask you, when is there ever life without wind and waves? Can you think of a time whenever your car isn't broken, whenever your kids are not sick, whenever you've had an accident, whenever somebody in the family is not doing well, whenever you're battling cancer, whenever you've got some other kind of disease, when you're in the hospital, whenever it goes on and on, "I need money, I need braces." When? When are there not circumstances in our lives? And Jesus says, "Focus on me. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Keep your eyes on me, on His power." The seventh principle is that Jesus confirms that He is the Son of God by calming the storm in our lives. Scripture says that whenever He stepped in the boat, the wind and the waves stopped. And the disciples, recognizing that it was Jesus, bowed and worshiped Him. "He is truly the Son of God. We don't deserve to be in His presence. He stopped the wind and the waves. He saved us." He may not do it the way we'd like for Him to do it, but when He does it, it brings peace. Not as the world gives, but peace as Jesus gives. A fellow by the name of Donald Hankey said, "I can know the truth of God's sovereignty and goodness, but experiencing it in the context of trusting God through the circumstances of life brings depth of understanding. Trusting God's sovereignty and goodness, His character, brings peace." When Jesus got into the boat and the storm ceased and the disciples worshipped Him, they said, "Truly, He's the Son of God." They had felt alone and abandoned. Peter had walked on the water. He had been grabbed by Jesus with His touch to save him. And He let them know that, "Yes, I am in control. I can stop the wind and the waves like that." You know, you can't know what a hurricane is like until you've experienced one, can you? You can watch the videos, you can read the books, but you can't really know. And you can't really know what it's like to be saved until you see yourself sinking. And so we know Him. We know Him because He saves us and He's committed to saving us. So what are our responses? We have three. Three that the disciples and Peter demonstrated. Three responses. The first one is to obey them. To obey Him. Whenever Jesus commands us, we need to go. knowing that the end is going to be good. That it's for our good. No matter how rational or irrational it may seem, no matter whether it's walking on water or just going to the other side in a storm, if He commands us, we need to go. The second thing is we need to trust Him. To trust Him that He's there to save us, that He is there when we cry out. To trust Him that He's committed to us, that He loves us. The third thing is that when we recognize Jesus as God's Son and that He is the one that is working His plan for our good end and for His glory, we need to worship Him. Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and grabbed Peter. And He saved him. And immediately He calmed the storm when they got into the boat. And He turns and He says, "Oh, you little faith. Why did you doubt?" I am there, people. I am little faith. I doubt. Jesus said He loves me anyway. Jesus is there for me anyway. And He loves you too. We follow Him not perfectly, but He's there. Jesus didn't doubt that Peter could walk on the water. He believed in the men that He had chosen. And Jesus doesn't doubt that you can walk on the water too. Isaiah 43 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Your Savior believes in you. Your Savior believes in you. Sometimes the pathway goes through the water. And the waves and the storm. Let me tell you a little story. This happened just this week. We got back home from somewhere. I guess Josh had picked me up. And we got back to the house. And on the concrete driveway of my home, there was a little bluebird. And the little bluebird wouldn't move. And so I kind of got out and shooed him away so we could pull the car into the driveway. And talking with Josh, I said, "You know, I think he's got a broken leg, and you know he's probably going to get eaten by a raccoon or a cat or something. He's going to eat the little bird." So a little while later, I'm sitting there, and on the back porch, I see Josh is bringing his box, and it had pine straw in it. And I go out there, "What you got in the box?" "It's a little bluebird." He put water and some breadcrumbs in the box. And then, so we left it there, and the little bluebird was leaning against the side of the box. And the next morning we got up and went outside and looked, and the little bluebird was dead. I was touched by Josh's kindness for a little bluebird. But Jesus loves us more than the least of those creatures. The least to be loved by God like a little sparrow. Do you think that you're not worth more than a sparrow? Jesus wants to care for you. He believes in you. How much more does God love us? How much more does He care for the broken legs and broken hearts that are in your lives? That's His love. Can He save you in the middle of the storm? Can He come to you when you're feeling alone and abandoned? You're feeling overwhelmed by the waves? You're afraid? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. He believes in you. 12 men got into the boat and obeyed Jesus to go to the other side. 11 stayed in the boat. One trusted Jesus and got out of the boat and walked on the water. all of them worshiped Him. Our response, obey Him, trust Him, worship Him. A man by Royden said, when we have nothing left but God, then we become aware that God is enough. Truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Let's worship Him. Let's pray. Father, I praise You that You give us commands. You give us Your Word, and You give us commands. I praise You that You give us the example that You connect with the Father in prayer alone, even when a storm is on the way for Your beloved ones. I thank You that You're in control even when we feel abandoned and alone in a storm. I thank You for Your comforting presence that casts out fear. Thank You and praise You that You call us. You believe in us enough to call us to get out of the boat and to trust You. And thank You that You're committed to save us whenever we cry out as we're sinking. Lord Jesus, You are truly the Son of God. You calm the storm in our lives. And we worship You today. In Jesus' name, we bless You, Jesus. Amen.